Mass. The station, at Rome, is in the Patriarchal Basilica of St. John Lateran. It was but right that a Sunday of such solemnity as this should be celebrated in the church which is the mother and mistress of all churches, not only of the holy city itself, but of the whole world. It is here that the public penitents were reconciled on Maundy Thursday. It is here also in the baptistry of Constantine that the catechumens received baptism on the night preceding Easter Sunday. No other basilica could have had such a claim for the station of a day like this, for it is there that the Lenten fast had been so often proclaimed by Leo and Gregory. The introit, as likewise the gradual, tract, offertory, and communion, are all taken from Psalm 90. We have elsewhere spoken of the appropriateness of this beautiful psalm to the spirit of the Church during the season of Lent. It bids the Christian soul confide in the divine aid. She is now devoting her whole energies to prayer. She is engaged in battle with her own and God's enemies. She has need of support. Let her not be afraid. God tells her, in these words of the introit, that her confidence in him shall not be in vain. Introit. He shall cry to me, and I will hear him. I will deliver him, and I will glorify him. I will fill him with length of days. He that dwelleth in the aid of the Most High shall abide under the protection of the God of heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the collect, the Church prays for her children, that their fast may not only purify them, but also obtain for them that divine assistance which will secure their salvation, by enabling them to abound in good works. Collect. O God, who purifiest thy Church by the yearly observance of Lent, grant that what thy children endeavor to obtain of thee by abstinence, they may put in execution by good works. The two following collects for the general wants of the Church are then added. Second Collect. Preserve us, O Lord, we beseech thee, from all dangers of soul and body, and by the intercession of the glorious and blessed Mary, the ever-Virgin Mother of God, of blessed Joseph, of thy blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, grant us, in thy mercy, health and peace, that all adversities and errors being removed, thy Church may serve thee with undisturbed liberty. Third Collect. O Almighty and Eternal God, who hast dominion over the living and the dead, and art merciful to all who thou knowest will be thine by faith and good works, we humbly beseech thee that those for whom we have proposed to offer our prayers, whether this world still retains them in the flesh, or the next world hath already received them divested of their bodies, may, by the clemency of thine own goodness and the intercession of thy saints, obtain pardon and full remission of their sins. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. 2. Chapter 6. Brethren, we exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed, but in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. These words of the Apostle give us a very different idea of the Christian life from that which our own tepidity suggests. We dare not say that he is wrong and we are right, but we put a strange interpretation upon his words, and we tell both ourselves and those around us that the advice he here gives is not to be taken literally nowadays, and that it was written for those special difficulties of the first age of the Church, when the faithful stood in need of unusual detachment and almost heroism, because they were always in danger of persecution and death. The interpretation is full of that discretion which meets with the applause of our cowardice, and it easily persuades us to be at rest, just as though we had no dangers to fear and no battle to fight. Whereas we have both, for there is the devil, the world, flesh, and blood. The Church never forgets it, and hence, at the opening of this great season, she sends us into the desert, that there we may learn from our Jesus how we are to fight. Let us go. Let us learn from the temptations of our Divine Master that the life of man upon earth is a warfare. Footnote, Job chapter 7, verse 1. And that unless our fighting be truceless and brave, our life, which we would fain pass in peace, will witness our defeat. That such a misfortune may not befall us, the Church cries out to us in the words of St. Paul, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us in all things comport ourselves as the servants of God, and keep our ground unflinchingly to the end of our holy campaign. God is watching over us, as he did over his beloved Son in the desert." The Gradual tells us that we are under the protection of the angels, and that these blessed spirits leave us not, either day or night. During Lent, they redouble their efforts against our enemies, and rejoice at seeing us sinners accept the penance which is to bring us to salvation. The Tract, too, inspires us with confidence. It speaks to us of the goodness of God, and of his fatherly watchfulness over us, his ungrateful children, whom he wishes to make his faithful friends and co-heirs of his kingdom. Gradual. God hath given his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Tract. He that dwelleth in the aid of the Most High shall abide under the protection of the God of heaven. He shall say to the Lord, "Thou art my protector and my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. For he hath delivered me from the snare of the hunters, and from the sharp word. He will overshadow thee with his shoulders, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall compass thee with a shield, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror of the night, of the arrow that flieth in the day, of the business that walketh in the dark, of ruin, or of the noonday devil. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. For he hath given his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt walk upon the asp and the basilisk, and thou shalt trample underfoot the lion and the dragon. Because he hoped in me, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he hath known my name. He will cry to me, and I will hear him. I am with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will glorify him. I will fill him with length of days, and I will show him my salvation. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, that he hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus saith to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let us admire the exceeding goodness of the Son of God, who, not satisfied with atoning for all our sins by dying on the cross, deigns to suffer a fast of 40 days and 40 nights, in order to encourage us to do penance. He would not that the justice of his heavenly Father should exact any punishment from us, unless he himself first suffered it, and that too 1,000 times more severely than we could. What are all our penances, even were they done thoroughly, when we compare them with the severity of this fast of Jesus in the desert? Can we have the face to be ever seeking for dispensations from the little which our Lord asks of us in atonement for our sins? Sins, alas, which deserve such rigorous penance? Instead of complaining at our feeling a slight inconvenience of a few days' duration, let us compassionate our innocent Jesus, who subjects himself to 40 days of most rigorous privation of food and drink. What was it that supported him? Prayer, devotedness to us, and the knowledge of the exigencies of his Father's justice. And when the 40 days were over, and his human nature was faint from exhaustion, he is assailed by temptation. But here again he thinks upon us, and sets us an example. He triumphs over the temptation calmly and resolutely, and thereby teaches us how to conquer. How blasphemous the boldness of Satan, who dares to tempt the just by excellence! But how divine is the patience of Jesus, who permits the hellish monster to lay his hand upon him and carry him from place to place. The Christian soul is oftentimes exposed to the vilest insults from this same enemy, nay, At times, she is on the point of complaining to her God for permitting her to have such humiliations. Let her, on these occasions, think upon Jesus, the saint of saints, who was given over, so to speak, to the wicked spirit. And yet, he is not the less the Son of God, the conqueror of hell, and all that Satan gains by his attack is utter defeat. In the same way, if the soul, when under the violence of temptation, resists with all her energy, she is not one jot less dear to God, and Satan retires with one more eternal shame and chastisement upon him. Let us take part with the holy angels, who, as soon as the tempter is gone, come to our Redeemer and respectfully administer food to him. How affectionately do they compassionate his hunger and thirst! How zealously they make amends by their adoration for the frightful outrage offered to their king! How fervently they extol the charity of their God, who, out of his love for man, seems to have been forgetting his own dignity in order to provide for the wants of the children of Adam. At the offertory, the church borrows once more the words of David and shows us our Lord overshadowing his faithful people with the wings of his tenderest care and shielding us with the truth of holy faith from every attack. Footnote, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Offertory. The Lord will overshadow thee with his shoulders, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall compass thee with a shield. Lent consists in something more than mere fasting. Fasting will not produce our conversion unless we join with it the avoiding of dangerous occasions, for these would lead us into sin and rob us at once of God's grace. Hence it is that the Church, in her secret, beseeches our Lord to bless us with the special grace of keeping from noxious pleasures. Secret. We offer thee, O Lord, in the most solemn manner, this sacrifice at the beginning of Lent, humbly beseeching thee that as we retrench from the food of our bodies, we may also refrain from all noxious pleasures. Second Secret. Graciously grant us, O God our Savior, that by virtue of this sacrament, thou mayest defend us from all enemies, both of soul and body, giving us grace in this life and glory in the next. Third Secret. O God, to whom alone is known the number of thine elect to be placed in eternal bliss, grant, we beseech thee, by the intercession of all thy saints, that the book of predestination may contain the names of all those whom we have undertaken to pray for, as well as those of all the faithful. In order to impress our minds with more and more confidence, the Church repeats in her communion antiphon the encouraging words already spoken to us in the offertory. The sacrifice which has just been offered for us is a fresh earnest of how much God loves us. Communion. The Lord will overshadow thee with his shoulders, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall compass thee with a shield. In the post-communion, the Church reminds us that the Holy Eucharist is our richest source of strength, because it purifies us. Let the sinner, therefore, lose no time in making his peace with his God. Let him not wait for Easter, but receive, as soon as may be, that heavenly food which saves us from the anger of God, because it makes us one with the very author of salvation. Post-communion. May the holy oblation, O Lord, of thy sacrament, give us a new life, that by laying aside the old man, it may bring us to the participation of this saving mystery. Second Post-Communion. May the oblation of this divine sacrament, we beseech thee, O Lord, both cleanse and defend us, and by the intercession of Blessed Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, of Blessed Joseph, of thy blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, free us from all sin and deliver us from all adversity. Third Post-Communion. May the mysteries we have received purify us, we beseech thee, O Almighty and Merciful God, and grant by the intercession of all thy saints that this thy sacrament may not increase our guilt to punishment, but be a means of obtaining pardon in order to salvation. May it wash away sin, strengthen our frailty, secure us against the dangers of the world, and procure forgiveness for all the faithful, both living and dead.